So this rising political power of the masses is a hazard facing industrialists, and unless we control it, we're going to be facing adversity. And they started right off with a big campaign in the late 30s. Well, the war sort of put it on hold. It then took off after the war, and the way it took off is pretty amazing. I thought I knew something about this stuff, but was surprised a couple of months ago when the first academic study came out. This is one of the major phenomena of American history. The first study just came out a couple months ago, giving some of the details of the propaganda offensive after the Second World War, which is pretty staggering, way beyond anything I had thought. I was very self-conscious. Leaders of the business community were talking about the need to indoctrinate people in the capitalist story in order to win the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and unless we do it fast, you know, our way of life. We got to sell our way of life, the capitalist story, and the rule of business and so on, or else we're really in trouble. There was a social democratic spirit in the country, and all bars were down. They were reaching maybe 70 million people a week just with straight business propaganda. The Taft-Hartley law enabled workers to be propagandized in the workplace. Got a captive audience, you can propagandize them in the workplace. About a third of textbook material in work schools, a third, was simply supplied straight by business propaganda. That's an incredible figure. 20 or 30 million people a week were just watching propaganda films. On top of that, the whole entertainment industry was mobilized, you know, the movies and growing television and so on, with several goals. They went after everything, churches, even sports leagues were organized to try to sell the capitalist story by instilling the right values and so on. The main purposes, you look through the whole, you know, you look at the movies and that kind of thing, were two big things. One, of course, is to demonize unions, because they are a democratizing force, so you got to get rid of them. They're one of the ways, the main way in which poor people can get together and do something, become participants, not spectators. So they had to be demonized. And the other thing, which is a little more tricky, was to demonize government and to create what's now called a mood of anti-politics. And that's a little tricky because, remember, these guys are the tools and tyrants of government. That is, they need a powerful state in order to protect them. That's why Gingrich and the Heritage Foundation want to increase the federal budget. They're not cutting it, they're increasing it, but they're increasing the parts that feed them, like the Pentagon system. That goes up. And the other part of the state security system, the prison system, goes up. You know, those go up. Everything that goes to people goes down. So you had to create a mood of anti-politics, which leaves a very powerful interventionist state, but makes people hate the federal government. And the reason to make people hate the federal government is it has a defect. It's not that the government isn't bad, but the things that they're worried about are not what's bad. What they're worried about is what's good. The government has a defect, namely it's potentially influenceable by the population. Now, private corporations don't have that defect. They're pure tyrannies. There's nothing you can say about the GE management. But you can do something about federal government policies. And that defect, for good Madisonian reasons, has to be gotten rid of. So you have to create a mood of anti-politics where everything is blamed on the federal government. And you don't notice the real power behind it. You're not supposed to read the Fortune 500 issue. And so you want to, if you're angry about the world, you don't blow up a corporate headquarters, you blow up a government office. That's the kind of mood that has to be created because the government has this terrible defect of potential democracy. And that has been done. The country is very, you know, attitudes haven't changed a lot in the country, but people are deeply confused about the source of their problems. And there is a kind of a mood of anti-politics, very irrational mood of anti-politics of this kind, which is simply putting more and more power into the hands of the private tyrannies, which are unaccountable, transnational in scope, control a huge amount of the economy, and have the kinds of advantages that I've been talking about. Incidentally, the end of the Cold War has something to do with this, but very little. Well, there isn't time to run through the details, and you know them anyway, but there's been a tremendous rollback campaign in the last 20, 25 years to try to reverse the achievements for democracy and human rights and so on that had indeed been won through popular struggle over many, many years. It's not the first time. You know, it's happened before. The predictions of perfection and the end of history were wrong before. It is a gloomy portent in many ways, but we should bear in mind that if the daring depravity of the times that Madison was talking about, if that persists, then we don't have anyone to blame but ourselves. Thanks.